bang, 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 bang. Anyway, that was a good way to enter the catch up.
Are you recording?
This morning. I'm recording. It's fun. I just make sounds and you'll just follow along.
I sound like a puppy. I just follow you with everything you do.
That is an apt analogy of our friendship. I'll just start like running and sometimes you'll just follow. My dog also does the same thing at the dog park.
You can yell at me and I'll just look back at you like...
Your ears go down.
This is the best thing ever.
Are you? Anyway.
Are you angry with me?
Are you angry
I poo
with me?
In the corner of the studio. You don't even mind. You pick it up after me.
No, I don't pick it up. I just leave it there until it goes hard and then I move on. Anyway, no more poo chat on the show, we promise. This is, again, thank you for downloading. You've got this extra bite. This is the chicken salt that is on the chips that is the Tim and Jess show.
Am I getting worse? These little
feedback
intros?
Is saying yes, but my heart says no. So today on the show, we spelt some names.
Yes.
For something new and different.
We also had another crack at the pressure test. Probably the worst attempt I've ever heard at our pressure test.
You weren't kind to the... Normally you're the nice one out of us two.
Yeah, but
and
Riley...
you weren't nice.
Look, Riley, love you. Love you, girl. Thank
love
you
long
for listening.
Time, but don't listen again.
But don't try again.
Never get involved in the show. We don't appreciate you. No, thank you very much. Anyway, look, we don't often get political on the show. We had a few serious conversations today, which is always fun. So you can catch it all now with the up. That's the new saying. Instead of catch up with Tim and Jess, it's catch it all with the up. Did you see the email we got?
I really didn't.
Catch it all with the up.
Get up with Tim and Jess. Let's go.
Keep me satisfied. Good morning. It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ. 6:02. Hope you're having a good morning so far, wherever you are across our beautiful region this morning. I was just out for a quick nip to the servo to get something, and it's a beautiful sunny day at 5:30.
I mean, how good is it, like, that it's starting to get lighter earlier?
Yeah, my concern, like a lot of our concerns, is that weekends... 5:30 is essentially all I can sleep into because the sun's bright and early, yeah. And I don't own my house, so I can't install curtains.
Anyone up this early already knows that feeling, though. Like,
yeah.
You just can't sleep in when
you
you're up
this early.
You just
can't sleep in. And then, like, the sun doesn't go down until, like, 8:45 in, like, November, December. What's happening?
All right.
It's too much
sun. You sound
sun.
About 75
it's
years
too
old,
too much
mate.
Sun. But it's great. You can get more things done in the day, mm-hmm. And we have a lot to get done in the show today.
That's right. We're going to be testing who's louder, Tim or Jess.
Yes, this is a very scientific.
Very scientific, very accurate. Definitely not using a free app from the internet.
Yep, out of both of us, you are definitely the one that is considered more loud. But I think if you give me an opportunity to be as loud as I can in one moment, I can be well louder than you.
We're also going to be playing Spell My Name. Yep. So if you've got a name, we want to try and spell it.
That's right. I understand it's a very confusing game. We'll go over the rules a little bit later on. But up next, it's been happening a lot this week, and we kind of avoided talking about it because we didn't think it was necessarily something that needed to be touched on.
Oh, for me, I'm like, Sydney, who cares?
Exactly. It has to do with Sydney and the Opera House, and if you're not aware, some advertising's going up on it. We will talk about that up next, so do not go anywhere. It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
And look, maybe you're not a big fan of Sydney.
No.
Maybe you're not a huge fan of the Opera House. But when it comes to an Australian landmark,
yeah,
Aussies have been fired up all week about the big old sales on one of our most iconic buildings.
Yeah, well, it's probably the iconic building of Australia.
Yeah.
As much as people maybe don't like Sydney or the Opera House, whatever. It's where when people, like when they do those, in a lot of movies, when they reference Australia, it's a video or a photo of the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge. Like that's just Australian tourism right
Whenever
there.
I've been travelling, people assume that we ride the kangaroos to school,
yep.
Past the Sydney Opera House, take a quick turn left at the Great Barrier Reef,
yep.
And then straight on through to Uluru.
Absolutely, and that's exactly how we all grew up and keep telling everybody that. But this week there's been a lot of... uproar, I guess you could say, and especially on at Alan Jones, a very popular Sydney radio broadcaster, mm-hmm. Putting forward and really championing the idea of advertising on the 3 to 4 arcs of the Sydney Opera House. Now, this is done, not advertising, it's done in many different ways. So I understand the pros and the cons. So like with Australian national sports, they often chuck up screens and colours on that.
Mm-hmm.
They do it with Vivid, which is a light show in Sydney, which is incredible if you've never been. They've done it with many different things. And now they want to do it for this horse race called the Everest.
Yes. So generally it's been about like patriotic things or, you know, big moments for our country. When the gay marriage bill was passed, they lit rainbow. Up the sails in a rainbow. But this one was different because it is for a horse race. And Alan Jones was up in arms about it because he has... I guess a bit. He has a couple of horses in this race.
Well, it is
literally, quite literally,
quite literally. And Gladys Berejiklian, who is the New South Wales Premier, overruled the Opera House chief to get this done. I don't know how that's happened, but it is interesting.
One of the rules of the Opera House, they have a set of guidelines, and one of the guidelines is directly. It actually says the sails are not to be used as a billboard. That is one of the things that has been said. Well,
but I can see why people are going, how come they can put national sports up there? Mm. How come they can put Vivid up there? Because essentially the lights are an advertisement of the Vivid Festival.
Despite a petition circulating that has garnered about 300,000 signatures,
heaps.
Which is about one in every 80 Australians has signed that petition to say, we don't want this.
I'm assuming they're mostly from Sydney or New South Wales.
A bunch of people rocked up last night when the ad was supposed to start.
Yep.
Right? Whole bunch of protesters. As the lights went up, all those protesters shone lights brightly onto the Opera House.
They shone their phone lights. It's definitely interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about it because there's good points raised from both. It's really tricky.
I think we need a sweeping rule. Like, if we let this happen...
you can't do then, sweeping rules.
No, but if we let the one advertisement happen, then where do we stop? How many other advertisements are there going to be?
Well, that's the thing. This can open the floodgates, but also, does it block things like national sports? Because then people are arguing that, oh, well, isn't sport an advertisement in itself? Like, why do sports get overruled compared to a horse race, which is another form of a sport? It's very confusing. I agree.
I think a lot of money has been thrown at this, and unfortunately money wins
money
every
wins.
Single time.
Yep. Let us know what you think, 13, 12, 16, or get in touch with us on our Facebook page about the advertisement on the Sydney Opera House. It's definitely something new in 2018 that we didn't think was going to come.
If you want to sign the petition, I think it's still circulating. Hit.com.au is where you can find it.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
And we try to not talk about US politics as much as we can on the show because we think that Australian politics ranks a little bit higher on our importance scale.
Absolutely. As it should.
But when certain things come to light, it's almost impossible not to talk about a certain individual that is known as Donald Trump, the United States president.
Yeah. Now, 2 more years of that bloke.
There's a few things that is going on at the moment. My favourite thing is that at the moment, there's a headline article, Donald Trump says he likes Taylor Swift 25% less after her first political comments. Whoa. How can you gay? Oh, you know what? I'm 25% annoyed with you, and I will take that off how much I
enjoy
you. I
like you 12% less after this morning.
Yes, and but that's not the main thing that is shocking me at the moment. Now, obviously, Donald Trump doesn't have a lot of supporters or followers, but then he does in some other way because he got elected to be president.
Kanye West is a big fan of his at the moment.
Yep.
They're about to have dinner.
Just let that marinate.
The Wests and the Trumps are meeting up for dinner at the White House.
I mean, I'm looking forward to 2019. I don't know about you. But he has not got one fan in particular. And I'm thinking if a member of this family isn't on your side, you're probably not doing so flash.
Right.
Alexander Stewart Houston is a 68-year-old man that lives in New Jersey in the United States.
Okay.
He also happens to be Hitler's great-nephew.
Oh,
Adolf Hitler.
Definitely don't want to be swinging that one around. That's not one to brag about.
No, Adolf Hitler, leader of the German Nazi Party back in the early mid-90s. He had many kids.
Really?
Many kids.
Yeah.
So his father was Donald Trump. Oh, sorry, was Adolf Hitler's half-brother.
Okay.
So here is a quote from a relative of Adolf Hitler. And obviously Alexander Stewart Houston, just because he's related to Adolf Hitler, has nothing, like, just because someone from your family was an awful, awful human being has no effect on you, but it is an unlikely relationship to be in.
And it is interesting that you mentioned it as well.
Yes, but this is a quote from him, a member of the Hitler family. His middle name is Hitler, by the way.
Oh.
No, sorry, his middle name is Adolf.
Oh, I thought we stopped using both those names in circulation a long time ago.
He got that removed from his birth
certificate. I would too.
The last person I would say I admire is Donald Trump. He's definitely not one of my favourites. Some things that Trump says are all right. It is his manners that annoys me.
Mm.
And I just don't like lies. I always vote for the person who does the best job. So he was born and raised in the United States, Alexander Houston.
Right.
But again, if you have a member of the former leader of the Nazi Party's family that says maybe you're not the best leader, that's probably not a good sign, right?
Yeah, look, probably not, hey.
I just think it's well interesting. I didn't know that there was any living members of that family left.
Yeah, I honestly didn't
England and the United States, apparently.
A lot of them would have fled Germany at the
time. Well, there's a movie in the making, mate, because his father left Germany because he hated what his brother was doing.
Sure.
Joined the US Army and fought against the Nazis in World War II.
Get out.
Hollywood.
Yes.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So just, I'm ScoMo, if you're listening, and I know you are. just be careful, because you don't want anyone from that family being on your bad side.
What's ScoMo got to do with
any? ScoMo? Ooh.
What's he got to do with any of this?
He's the leader of our country. Just saying, hey, if you want to lead, don't lead like Donald Trump.
Is he a fan of Donald Trump's?
It's not important. You've missed it.
I don't know why you brought him up.
Because I'm talking about the leader of another country.
Right.
And I'm saying, haha.
But guy said he doesn't like Scott Morrison either?
Now you're doing this on purpose.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending story is across Australia and central Queensland. And if you've been having a little bachelor-shaped hole in your heart since The Bachelor wrapped up last week, don't worry. The Bachelorette is starting tonight.
See, no, you're not allowed to have a hole because literally, say if The Bachelor was continuing, it would be tonight anyway. So that's the normal amount of wait time. It's just a new show.
Yeah, but I was upset after last week when the Bachelor didn't choose anybody.
I can't believe they roll straight into Bachelorette.
They always do that.
I would, if I was a smart marketing person, which I'm not, I would do The Bachelor, where they just did it, wait, and then really push hard in November.
Nah.
Really give it a month.
So you want to go straight into it because you're banking on people going, all right, I'm still invested in The Bachelor.
That's a good point.
And then February, I think, The Bachelor in Paradise starts.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, we're going back to back to back, really.
And then there's Love Island and there's the Kiss of Misses and the Mr. Kister. I don't know. There's all these crap shows.
The blokes have been revealed who will be vying for Ali's heart. I'm not sure how I feel about Ali as a bachelorette, but
it's because you're a judgmental woman, is why.
I am not a judgmental woman. She was boring as anything. Well, I was nearly swore just then. Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm sorry that you're not a Channel Win producer and that you didn't go through a hefty series of selecting this.
Yeah, look, all right. Fair. A couple of the blokes are actually right here from Central Queensland.
One bloke from Gladstone.
Yep.
He's the old bloke, 42
Danny,
years old. And
39.
A bloke from, I don't think they live here anymore, but another bloke from Yeppoon moved to the Gold Coast recently.
His name's Wes, 31.
The
age range of the blokes, very broad.
23 to 42.
Yeah, interesting.
It's a bit loose.
The great thing about watching The Bachelorette, though, is that the boys band together. Unlike the girls, they're not bitchy.
Boys.
They're all like, oh, go have a chat to her, mate. Get on it. And that's what I love seeing about on The Bachelorette, like all the boys getting to know one another.
All right, if you're looking to hate yourself for the next 6 weeks, then The Bachelorette, it's for you.
It all kicks off tonight. You can check out the full story for yourself at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Real quick before tomorrow afternoon, something happened to me last night.
What?
Not super proud. I feel very dumb. It's not often I come out with the big old waving the red flag going, hey, Captain Dumbo over here. But something happened. And look, to be fair, it's not necessarily all my fault. There's bad timing and weather patterns also contribute. Yesterday afternoon and last night, spent a lot of time trying to take care of my backyard. Had a lot of spare time, as I always do, because I work in radio.
I don't know why you put so much effort into your backyard. It's not yours. It's not your house.
But whenever I leave the house, I have to return an appropriate backyard, like with proper lawn and not just dirt pits.
Yeah, that's fair. Your lawn is pretty short.
So I'm trying, because we didn't get a lot of rain this winter, right? So I spent a lot of time yesterday going over it, just sort of chucking some seeds here and there.
Yeah, giving it a little bit of love.
Have a bit of a, picked up the dog crap, mowed the lawns, that kind of stuff. Even got the sprinkler out. Got the sprinkler out for about five.
You own a sprinkler?
Yeah, I bought one.
Oh.
4 or 5 hours. Put it out there, and I was like, this is a well-littered garden.
Yep.
And then it rained.
Joke's on Timmy. Joke's on Timmy.
Are you absolutely kidding me?
I like to think of God sitting up there watching you. Let him go. Let him go.
I'm standing there in the sun.
4 hours of sprinklers and rain.
And did a great, the rain, don't get me wrong, the rain did a great job. But I look like a right knob. So,
also, you paid all that money for the water as well.
The body corporate does, so your neighbours will be thanking me in a few months' time.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
Time to decide who is the loudest once and for all.
Look, the easy answer, and I would tend to agree, out of both of us, overall, you're much louder than I.
Absolutely.
But I think if you put me in a situation, and we're doing this in the name of science, and everyone's always like, Jess, you're so loud, you're so loud. And I'm like, hey, I can be loud too. What about, what? As Shannon Noll famously said, what about me? And I think if we were purely going for a moment of being the loudest version of what you could be, I would beat you hands down.
I think you're wrong.
Because overall, out of, like, if the scale was 100, 99% of the time, you're super loud. Maybe I'm about 20, but the peak is what we're after, the peak of loudness. And that's why I have a decibel reader app that I've downloaded on my phone.
Right. Seems very
legit.
It
even specifies. So at the moment, we're speaking both at about 60-odd, and it's going. It's bouncing between conversation
you are closer to it.
And loud music.
Yep.
So that's where I'm bumping between right now. I'm bumping between conversation and loud music.
Well, I think the easiest way that we can get a reading on this is if we just scream a word into the app.
I think the word
at
loud,
our highest peak.
Yep, loud. The word loud is appropriate.
Okay,
I feel.
Sure.
So where is the phone going to be? The decibel reader. Well,
take it away from the mic. You go first.
All right. So how are you going to know that I'm telling the truth?
Well, because you'll turn and face it to me, so I can see what the decibels say.
Right.
All right. Here we go. Tim's walking away. I want you to scream loud. He's currently sitting at I'm sitting at 50, around 50 decibels.
Right, so as loud I can be.
As loud as you can be. Scream the word loud. Here we go. Down to 30. What kind of decibel reader have you got?
It spikes down.
That was a downward spike. Is that how decibels work?
I don't know. Maybe you test it. This is the only science we've got. Okay, you go. Go on.
I'm very confused. It dropped down to 14, Tim.
All right. Maybe it's negatives. Go. Maybe go. Hurry up. Sorry. All right. So get your gear ready. 3, 2, 1. See, it goes down. Get over here. All right, bring it back.
All right.
So what you got, your lowest I saw was about 20.
Yeah.
So mine was 14.
Yeah. Is that how decibels work? Maybe we should have done some research.
Nah. So it is confusing, I'll be honest.
Decibel.
No. We don't have time to do this now. I have another idea for a test that will absolutely. Yes, there's no decibels involved, but I have a test.
Okay.
The old man test.
The old man test.
We yell at an old man and whoever can be heard the most clear is the winner.
Right. So should we like yell a sentence and he has to repeat the sentence?
But there have to be
back?
Two different sentences.
Okay. All right.
So we just need to find a resident old person. Are you on board?
Yes.
Let's find one. It's Tim and Jess on Hits EQ. Back to what we were doing before with the loudness test of who's the most loud of peak loudness. I've got the audio of just the grabs of us saying loud.
Sure.
Again, I recorded that back into the computer.
Yeah.
They're both sitting at the same.
Oh, really? But see, your decibel reader went down instead of up. So
did yours.
I've done some quick maths.
Some inversions.
And I inverted it, and it would be that, if that's accurate at all, you hit about 86 decibels and I hit 80.
See,
a standard vacuum cleaner is 70 decibels.
As much as I would want to win this straight away, I don't trust your maths.
I don't trust your app.
So, we just spoke about it. We're going to do the old person test. Find an old person, see if they can understand us clearly from a distance, and we'll get that sorted tomorrow on the show. How does that sound?
I think that sounds fair and accurate for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. After all, this is science. coming up in a few moments' time, we want to get you to Oktoberfest this Saturday at the GECC.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
Saturday is big for Central Queensland, Oktoberfest.
That's right.
Coming into town.
It's coming to a close over in Germany, but it's only kicking off this Saturday for Central Queensland.
We have brewed a beer for CQ, Gluten Tag with Sick Puppy Brewery, a gluten-tolerant beer. Yesterday, we built one for our team that definitely is gluten intolerant.
We've been trying to get a team of experts together to give us the tick of approval because it's limited edition beer. You can only get it at Oktoberfest at the GECC this Saturday.
Yep, so on Monday, we had someone that was definitely German.
Definitely not.
Yesterday, we had someone that was definitely gluten intolerant.
Definitely not.
And today, what we need is a beer snob.
Yes.
Obviously, drink responsibly, but beer snobs exist.
Do you know your lager from your pale ale? Do you know a heavy Guinness from your golden
beer? My brother-in-law, he works at a brewery, beer snob.
Beer snob?
You can't just hand him like a 4X or just a normal lager. He'll look at it and... I was drinking Vosmoy in Vienna. It's like, shut up. But we need, if we're going to approach Oktoberfest with the best team possible on 13, 12, 16, if you want the double pass, you need to prove to us that you're a beer snob.
That's right. We've got a double pass to give away to Oktoberfest. If you're a bit of a beer snob, we want to bring you with us. We want you to give our beer the tick of approval.
What are some defining characteristics of a beer snob?
They will turn their nose up at any beer.
They have
is half decent.
Permanently have damaged neck.
Yes.
From turning their nose up at everything.
They always talk about the best beer that they ever had from some random little brewery somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of Luxembourg that three people have heard of.
Speaking of which, when I was in Berlin.
13, 12, 16. Give us a call. If you want a double pass to Oktoberfest this Saturday, the GECC, all you need to do is prove to us that you are the biggest beer snob in CQ. 13, 12, 16 is that number. Double pass could be yours on Hit CQ.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland, and all eyes were on Australian Survivor last night.
Yep, Shane Gould taking out the prize as the greatest survivor after 50 days, former Olympian, but we are joined now on the phone by the person who unfortunately came runner-up. Her name is Sian. Condolences, commiserations, but also congratulations, Sian, on finishing second on Australian Survivor this year.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
What was the moment like, the final challenge, when you noticed that Brian had taken his hand off that totem?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It was amazing. I was ready, you know, for the long haul. I was ready to stay on that pole for hours to come. But, you know, when I heard that, I was like, what? He's taken his hat off and he's taken his hand. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
I feel like I'd vomit if I was Brian. Like, it's almost that. Like, I feel so sorry for the bloke. It's such a silly thing to do. And he wasn't even thinking. But I guess that's the whole point of these challenges. It puts you in those zones where you're not thinking straight.
Yes, and that's the trick to the challenges sometimes. It's not necessarily, you know, the endurance aspect. It's the keeping your mind about yourself. So, and he just lost his, you know, chance at that time. He forgot. So, but he was struggling too, you know. He was doing it tough out there.
Now, Shana, you won the final challenge. So, essentially, you could decide who came with you to the final two to win $500,000.
Yeah.
And you took Shane with you. Now, obviously, Shane has won Australian Survivor. How are you feeling about your decision?
Do you wish you had taken Brian? Do you think things would have been different?
Look, I'm happy with my decision, and that's one thing. You can't, you know, go back and try and think if I'd done something differently. And I think in terms of my game and the way I wanted to play it, I wanted to take Shane because we were friends. You know, I played that game with integrity, and I had to take her. And I thought, you know, I'd lose respect with the jury if I took Brian. I'd been trying to vote Brian. Like, seriously, I'd been trying to vote Brian out all this time, and then to turn around and backstab Shane in that last moment, I just didn't think that would go down too well. So, you know, there were a myriad of reasons as to why I took Shane, but I wanted to see the two of us there at the end. You know, we were buddies from day dot, so I just thought it was a really fitting end to the show.
Was there an agreement between you and Shane, you know, if I take you, then we'll split the money in some way?
No, 90-10. No, you're actually not allowed to do that, and there was
really?
Yeah.
I was thinking because, say, in your speeches to the jury in the last episode, I was thinking I'd just be like, all right, you all get a grand. Vote for me.
Totally. That would be awesome, wouldn't it, if you could do it that way? But, of course, you can't. So,
You're a barrister by trade, one of Australia's greatest barristers. Do you feel, now watching it, I know that editing takes place in the show, but it seemed you got a bit stuck up by a question on trust and loyalty. Is that how it actually played out, or was that just a sort of a slip of the tongue?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, it's a show at the end of the day. I certainly was taken aback by the question because I didn't expect it. I thought it was, you know, such an insignificant... Well, I didn't think it was a huge thing in the face of everything else that I'd done. Plus, I played my idol for Matt. I would have thought that's a huge sign of loyalty. So, and I took Shane to the end, another huge sign of loyalty. So all of these things I thought spoke to that, but no, Matt seemed to have a different view on that. So, yeah, and I at the end of the day, it's cost me $500,000.
Wow, 50 days... incredible effort.
I was going to say,
done. We're still super proud of you, Sian.
Thank you.
Did you get to keep your little immunity necklace, seeing as you were the last one to hold it?
No, in fact, no. I didn't get to keep that. Yeah, and plus it was so big, right? I mean, it needed to be resized.
It did look a bit ridiculous on you.
I still loved it, though. Now, of course you want to wear it.
You might not have won Australian Survivor. You might not have won $500,000, but take this. You beat Commando Steve at challenges. I think that's an award in itself.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Congratulations. Yep. Thank you very much for joining us, Sian.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Cheers. Have a good day.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
13, 12, 16. We want to ask, how overdue?
Yep.
How far did you let it get? Incredible. Incredible story. Because it happens to all of us. You slip your brain, and you just go, oh, no, I didn't forget. I didn't return that.
I'm really bad at borrowing things because I always forget to give them back to people.
Yes.
Unless I'm prompted. And I say it to my mates. I'm like, if you're going to lend me this,
remind me.
You need to remind me, like, every hour on the hour or I will forget.
Now, the reason I bring this up is because in 1934, an 11-year-old girl checked out a poetry anthology from a library in the United States.
Right. 1934.
How long ago was that?
86 years.
84 years. Oh! I don't know where you got that extra two from.
I just guessed.
84 years. Was found by her son during a spring clean of her home and returned 84 years after.
Did you cop a big fine?
That is something that I'm struggling to find information on. But it is a cracker of a time for something to be overdue. I got a letter from the council because my girlfriend forgot to return a library book.
Oh, really?
Under my name. I was threatened if it happens again in the next 12 months that I will lose my membership to the library.
That's a big threat.
Not big for me. Huge news for my girlfriend. But it happens. Sometimes you just, it's like you said, you slip out of your brain, and you never remember. I've still got one of my friend's Nintendo 64 games.
Perfect. Yep.
Every time I look at it, I'm like, I got to return that to Nick. And then just doesn't happen.
My aunties always, whenever they came over and for a visit, they would just leave plates and stuff. And Mum would be like, make sure you get your plate on the way out. I reckon half my mum's cupboard is just full of plates from my aunties.
Well, I think that's probably the same here at work with the amount of things that you leave here. I'm sure whenever you leave this job and you move on to another area or you move to another state, there'll be a bowl here representing your time at HitsCQ.
And a few mugs.
And a lot of mugs. So it is an interesting thing because obviously when things get overdue, is it better late than never or do you just commit to having it?
Nah, see, I'd just commit to having it. Yeah, it's mine now. Wait for a few years.
The only
time that I've ever given something back is that I had a book overdue from my first year of uni. And it came to graduation time. And did you know they don't let you graduate if you've got outstanding fines at the library?
That's not good.
I had to pay like $60 because I couldn't find this book.
That's not too bad. Mate, imagine, okay.
Over 3 years? I don't remember using the book.
And that's university in a nutshell there. 13, 12, 16 though. How overdue? How far past the due date, if it was meant to return, did you get? 13, 12, 16, give us a call. We have been asking how overdue after a library book was returned 84 years after being borrowed by an 11-year-old girl. Her son found it, looked at the date and went, Mum.
That library's not missing that book. It was probably going to sit on the shelf dusty for years anyway.
Absolutely.
Who reads poetry?
That's the point. Is it better late than never? That's what we're sort of figuring out. So on 13, 12, 16, we've had Hayley call through because we're finding out how overdue people can get. Hayley, how overdue were you?
Well, this is my phone bill, right?
Oh, sketchy.
I don't have a good track record of paying my phone bill.
Oh, no, Hayley.
How have you called? Are you using a friend's phone? What's going on?
Well, this has happened several times. I've left it till it's disconnected, but it's because every time, so it's about 6 months, all right? So it's been, I've got a bill that's overdue about 6 months, but if you call them, I found out if you just keep saying, yeah, I've paid it, then they'll unlock your service. So I've been doing that for months now, but I've never paid for it.
And then the next month they go, no, you haven't. And then you just call again and you say, yes, I have. And then now you're just in like a dance back and forth.
Wait a second. Yeah. Hayley, have you got like, what, 6 months of your phone bill owing?
Honey.
Yeah, but like if I just keep calling, I'm not going to have to pay it, right?
But the longer that you wait, the more when eventually when you get caught out, and trust me, you will, Hayley, the more you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, but her tax is probably coming back soon, Tim. And when you get your tax back, that's when you start paying your bills, right? That's how I used to do it.
Yeah, that's not how to do bills. Hayley, if you don't mind us asking, what's the number creeping towards, or is it just the same bill coming through?
I don't look at it because I just ignore that I have a phone bill entirely. That's how it got to this point.
Ignore the bills and they'll go away, yep. Hayley. That's exactly how life works.
That's exactly how famine works. So we appreciate your call, Hayley.
Thanks, guys.
And Kerry, real quick, how overdue?
9 years.
Oh, what are you talking about, Kerry?
Okay, my son brought home a pizza from school and he brought the base home too that he cooked for the day. And I've been meaning for the last 9 years to return it back to the school.
Nah, Kerry, it's yours now.
It's yours now.
It's yours. They would have replaced that years ago.
Many a good pizzas have been made on it.
That's all right. If you get like an engraver and put your initials on it, they can't prove it.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. Well, thanks for your call, Kerry.
Okay, bye.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Tim and Jess's pressure test.
Thanks to Heron Island.
The Great Barrier Reef on your doorstep. Your chance to head away to Heron Island and, experience the turtles.
Yep, and a holiday.
Yeah, you can do a holiday anywhere.
Riley,
Heron Island is where you need to go.
Riley from Mackay, another Mackay listener playing today on 13, 12, 16. Riley, you feeling good or are you feeling bad?
Not great. I'm not really great at trivia, but, you know.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
May not be your game, Riley.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. If you can get all correct, you're off to Heron Island. Your time starts now.
Which royal created the Invictus Games?
Oh, my God. Pass.
If you're third place finisher in the Olympics, which colour medal do you get?
Gold.
They may take away our lives, but they'll never take away our freedom is a quote from which movie?
Pass.
How many kids does Ryan Gosling have?
Four.
Which character is known for his duffel coat, Wellington boots and love of marmalade?
Pass.
Double dribble, alley-oop and assist are terms from which sport?
Basketball.
What is the name of the lead guitarist in the band Queen?
Pass.
Unforgettable is a song by French Montana featuring who?
Oh my God, pass.
Which chef stars in the TV shows Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares, and Hotel Hell?
That was shocking! Oh my God,
Riley. Look, I like to be positive as often as I can, but unfortunately that was a very negative outcome.
I can be positive. That was the worst we've ever had on this show, I think.
That's not positive.
She won something. She's the worst at it.
Can we give her anything? Can we give her something? Great. No, we don't have anything, unfortunately, Riley. Look, there was a few. You passed a lot. That's the crux of the game. If you pass, you're pretty much dead from there. But we appreciate you having a crack this morning, mate.
Okay, thanks.
No worries. If you want to be just like Riley and have a crack at the pressure test, make sure you're listening every single day to Hit CQ.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Spell my name, spell my name. Something multicultural, something that's a mouthful. Baby, spell my name.
Spell my name, spell my name.
We think we can guess it. You will be so stressing. Let us spell your name.
Yes, ARIA award-winning singers there, Tim and Jess. Today for playing Spell My Name. If you're not aware of the game, we play it every single Wednesday. We're just trying to spell names. Because names are the most inclusive thing in the world.
It's also the thing that you and I get wrong the most. Yep. We're constantly asking people how to spell their names properly.
And we're pretty garbage at it. But the only thing is that we're trying our hardest. And that's the most important thing after all.
You've got to try to improve, don't you?
Absolutely. And playing Spell My Name this morning, firstly, is Chloe from Gladstone. And now, Chloe, what name are we spelling?
My name.
Just spelling Chloe?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to go Kardashian, K-H-L-O-E.
Okay, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Sorry, Chloe.
I feel like Chloe might be trying to like play a trick on us, and
mind
maybe
games.
she just spells it correctly, like the correctly.
The normal
the,
way.
The normal way.
All right, what is it?
C-H-L-O-E.
No, that's wrong again.
Oh, damn.
Damn it, Chloe. What are we working with?
K-H-L-O-I-E.
I-E.
So technically it spells Chloe. It does. It's phonetically Chloe as well.
Yep. Damn, Chloe.
How old are you, Chloe, if you don't mind asking?
I'm 20.
20, yes. It's a new age name. Early for the new age names. They've only come in the last 10 years, so you've jumped ahead. Thank you very much for playing, Chloe.
That's okay. Thank you.
And we've had Kaya from Gladstone call through on 13, 12, 16. Kaya, what name are we spelling?
Kaya.
Oh, all right. Tricky name.
I'm going to give it a go first.
Sure.
K-H-I-A.
No.
Kaya.
It's a beautiful name.
C-A-Y-A.
No.
That's Kaya.
I know, but I'm trying. Yeah. The game's tricky. Kaya, how do you spell your name, please?
K-Y-A-H.
Again, another K-H. You've done so good. Thank you so much for playing, Kaya.
That's okay.
And Anna from Gracemere playing Spell My Name, the third and final contestant this morning. We really need a win here. Anna, what name are we spelling?
Murray. Murray.
Jeez, Jess.
Sorry.
Murray.
All right. You go first, Timmy.
M-U-R-R-I-E.
No.
Okay, I'm going to go with, like, the river. M-U-R-R-A-Y.
That's also a name.
Yes.
Yes, we did it.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
We really needed that one,
no
Anna.
Problem.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Bye.
Even that one took me by surprise. I can't believe we got one.
Can't believe when you associate Murray, you think of the river, not the name.
But who's named Murray?
The guy from Flight of the Conchords.
Right,
most Australian blokes.
I immediately go to the river. It is the largest river in all the country. So
you learned that yesterday. You need to chill out on that fact.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
Biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And joining us now is central Queensland 9 News reporter Ali Cullen. Ali, yesterday it was reported there was an incident off the coast of Yeppoon with a shark. Can you please give everyone some updated information?
Yeah, so basically it was initially thought or reported that it was a shark attack, but it wasn't quite that serious. So basically a guy was out on a fishing charter at Swains Reef, which is off pretty far off the coast of Yeppoon. He was reeling in a reef shark, grabbed it by the tail, and it turned around and bit him in the shoulder.
Ooh. Grabbing the shark by the tail, it's not the smartest thing to do. It's about 200 kilometres off the coast where the guys were all fishing. That's why it took them so long to actually get in the next morning, which was yesterday morning about 5, 6am.
Yeah, it did. So it took them about 12 hours to get in. So he's obviously been nursing this puncture wound in his shoulder for about 12 hours. But his crewmates were very quick to the rescue. They actually put honey and sugar inside his wound overnight, which, you know, not sure why, but that's what they did.
Yeah. Now, he was sent to the hospital. I'm sure he's tracking along well. Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, he is. So he required surgery. He had that yesterday, and he's still recovering from that. But he's in a pretty good way. Paramedics were saying even when he walked off that fishing charter onto dry land, he was very joyful, and he actually said he wanted to go back out fishing with his mate. So.
Ali, I'm not sure if you know, are there any legalities around reef shark fishing? Like, were they trying to get a shark or were they trying to get something else?
Well, it was a fishing charter, so there was a large group of them out there fishing. I'm not too sure what exactly they were fishing for or what the circumstances specific circumstances were around when, you know, when he's pulled that reef shark up. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I'm not too sure.
But it is important to note that, yes, regardless that they were fishing out on the coast, whether you're out fishing at the shore on any beach here in Australia, you do need to be mindful whether you're fishing for sharks or you're just swimming. So we appreciate the updates. Thank you very much, Ali Cullen for 9 News Central Queensland.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
You can catch Ali Cullen on Channel 9 News tonight, Channel 5 on your remote.
Head to hit.com.au for that and heaps more stories around Central Queensland.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
13, 12, 16, what did you postpone? Of significance. I'll throw my pen.
Oh, I'm very excited.
This is because Damien Cook is going to finally get his hands on a Kangaroos jumper for the Aussie NRL team.
Nice.
But in doing so, we got called up into the squad to take over from Cameron Smith's absence mm-hmm. in the Australian Test squad. And on October 20th, he's going to be playing against New Zealand and Tonga. But that was also his wedding date.
Ooh, rough.
Which he's been planning for a while, which weddings do plan
that
for a while.
That is a very
so
understanding bride.
He is a terrible fiancé.
Yeah.
Or his fiancée is the best ever.
She is the best ever. She deserves many, many
two
gifts.
Weddings. Two weddings. So he's,
she can't have the first one without a husband.
So he's postponing his own wedding so that he can play for Australia. That's a very tricky situation. I don't know.
I'd do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are.
Do it as well?
Nah, man, wedding's more important. Like,
are you kidding me? They call you up. Essendon's in the grand final.
Okay. First of all, this is the best phone call of my life. hello, Tim speaking.
They call you up and they go, Tim, Essendon, yeah. we're about to play the grand final in a couple of weeks and we need Timmy Bulch on the bench.
All right. No. But you got to take this into consideration. He's a sportsman.
Yes.
He knows that there's games around certain times. So you book your weddings. Well, I guess this is outside of the NRL season, so he's in a tricky spot. And he is postponing potentially the biggest event of his life.
Mm.
But if this is his childhood dream,
this
his
is a big event as well.
I know, but wedding, playing for Australia in a sport. It's tough.
Australia in a sport. You can do your wedding anytime.
He has chosen to postpone his wedding to play footy, Damien Cook. Mate, well, that's your choice? Absolutely live with it. But putting off and postponing significant events. Mm. It's an interesting thought.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't had many significant moments. I've missed things. I haven't postponed them. I've put them on the shelf and then put the shelf in the bin. There's nothing that I can necessarily think of that I've gone, you know what, we'll do this at a later time. Oh, girlfriend's birthday present actually is pretty postponed.
Yeah, well, how long did
that wasn't our choice. There was a storm. We wanted to go to Heron Island. There was one storm on one day.
Yep.
And we still haven't. That was in April.
You still haven't been?
We haven't been.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Haven't rescheduled. Postponed it to the end of the year.
Did you ever pay for the holiday?
Or the deposit.
Did you just pretend that you bought her a holiday to Heron Island?
Oh, no, there's a storm.
We can't go over.
No. I really should book that in because I've still got my deposit. So I need to organise that. No postponing. You just do
well,
things.
Well, last year we postponed one of my Christmas celebrations. It was like we were supposed to do
one
it like a cut. Well, you know, I'm a wog, so we have like 70. Like there's different family members and different my cousins and my god sisters and whatever. So like I think with my god sisters last year we were supposed to do before Christmas and ended up getting postponed to like January. Like Christmas is over.
What is a god sister?
Like my godparents.
No. Their kids are not your god
sisters. They're my god sisters.
You are, mate.
That's how it works.
I say this with much love. You're such a wog. You're such a wog sometimes. And I love you. Am I allowed to say that?
You are.
All right, thank you. So don't call for the hate. 13, 12, 16. What did you postpone? What did you postpone? Were you playing for Australia? Was it your god sister's first breakfast outside of home? 13, 12, 16, give us a call. What did you postpone? We've been asking, what did you postpone? Because Damien Cook, he's postponed his wedding so he can go play for Australia in the NRL.
Totally understandable.
Test match. It's a tricky situation.
Best future wife ever.
Oh, mate.
Like the most understand. He must have given her so stuff to make sure that could happen.
Sorry, I was like, where's...
Whoa, Timmy!
Oh, Timmy yourself. I was about to Timmy you before you Timmied me. But we had Simon call through on 13, 12, 16, because it's a tricky situation. What's important compared to what's not important? Simon, what have you postponed of significance?
Postponed my 21st a couple of years ago.
All right.
21st is a big one.
Yeah, I'm immediately going to flag it because postponing an age is tricky to do because you don't really get a say.
How many months did you postpone it?
Probably like a year and a half.
All right.
You're not 21 anymore. A solid 18
months. You're almost 23. Was it just like timing of when you could get the party up and going? Because life happens.
Yeah, pretty much. Like when I actually wanted to do it, because I didn't have like an 18th or anything, I thought, oh, you know, might as well. And everyone was having 21st around the same time, because I'm sort of around the middle of the year. And
sure.
That's when all my mates were there. So I was like going out anyway, so I didn't really see the point. And then just got wrapped up in work, and then I went overseas for a bit. Then I came back and I thought, oh, I still want to do that. I still want to, you know,
time get, for 21st.
Get to go out. Yeah, still want to.
Simon, how about, this could have been an idea, just throwing a birthday party for your 23rd. If you were that, if you, it's because it's already,
no, but 21st,
I'm counting about February. Like, 21st you're
almost are like
there.
Bigger though, Tim. It's not a, like, 23rd is not a big celebration.
23rd's weird. Like, who's celebrating a 23rd?
Yeah. I mean, I did.
I've been to one. It was really sad. Like, yeah, you've got better stuff to do.
All right. Well, I'm impressed that you got away with that one.
How old are you now, Simon?
25.
Happy 21st.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your call, Simon. Okay.
That's the life of a young whippersnapper, 21-year-old.
21, 25. Can't wait for his 30th, a.k.a. 21st.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on HIT.